I want to invite you to turn in your copy of God's Word to Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 this morning. Joshua 1, 6 through 9. It is quite possible that as we embark on 2024, that 2024 is going to be probably a heaven on earth. I mean, everything could go wonderfully well, no problems at all, and man, we can come to the end of it and say, wasn't that delightful? But the odds are that it's not going to be like that. As we look forward, I mean, there are tons of things that are going on in the world around us. Russia invaded Ukraine quite some time back, but the war continues to go, and it's questionable as to what the involvement of the United States is and what happens when Ukraine falls. Is there going to be something else that happens? Hamas attacked Israel. There's an ongoing war there and people taking sides. And we're shocked at, you know, the response of many groups within our own country over that. The premier of China has given more than a few hints that he is preparing to take Taiwan. Not only that, we've got all sorts of other things going. We've got the border, our southern border, that is out of control. And it's not just that we're opening welcome arms to people who are legitimately refugees and people that are legitimately hurting. It's also that who is slipping in that may have ill intent, that are just waiting for a cue for the United States to harm the United States. The economy, we keep hearing that the numbers are great, and every one of us know those numbers are lying to us. That people are hurting, that it's not as inexpensive as it was a few years back to go to the grocery store and to go to the gas pump and to go to everywhere else to make purchases. House prices have escalated so that the generation that's coming behind us can't even afford to get into a place to live. And all of us, if you're looking and kind of really looking at the numbers and trying to look beneath that, it just feels like a balloon with a pin just ready to pop it. This could be a very interesting year. And that's not to mention all of the things that are going on in many of your lives. One of the conversations that we've had in the church offices, Jamie, Joey, and I have chatted about this periodically, is it seems as if everybody in this church has something big going on. Every family in this church has something going on in your lives right now that you are dealing with and struggling with. So how are Christians to deal with this? How are we to move into 2024? Are we supposed to live in fear? Are we supposed to be like the proverbial ostrich that buries our heads in the sand and pretends as if everything is okay and we're not dealing in the real world? Or are we to be something very different? Maybe are we to be strong and courageous? I believe that the words that God gave to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, were not only intended for Joshua, I believe they're intended for us for such a time as this. This year may not be that bad. Then again, it may be. I think it would not hurt at all to prepare ourselves to be strong and courageous for whatever it is that God allows into our lives. So I've titled the sermon this morning, Strength and Courage for the Year Ahead. And I want us to look, let's read the text, then I'll pray, and then we'll dig in. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. We actually hear God say this three times in these few verses to Joshua. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you now, and Lord, you have just spoken to us because we have just read out of not a dead book, but a living book. This is not just what you said. This is what you are saying to us. And so, Lord, I pray that as I have studied over this text over the last week, as I have looked at this with new eyes and looked at it from the vantage point of where we as a people, where we as a church are, where we as individuals are. Lord, I pray that I would accurately convey to these people, your people, what you are saying in this text, because what I have to say doesn't matter. What you have to say is of utmost importance. So I pray that you would help me to accurately describe what it is that you're saying, illustrate it, show how it works, how it applies, so that as we come to the end of it, Lord, that each of us would, with mind and heart, understand what you are calling us to. And I pray, Lord, once again, that our answer is already yes, that we will make the adjustments that you're calling us to make. And we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your bulletin, you can pull out your sermon notes. You probably already have those in front of you so that you can take notes along the way. I've got a few blanks for you to fill in, plenty of space for you to write in some notes as you see fit. The first thing that I want us to look at is, let's just kind of define our terms, what it means to be strong, what it means to be courageous. Because what we hear God telling Joshua in verses 6 through 9 is be strong and courageous. So what does that mean? Well, one of the things is we look back at the context, as we realize what's going on, we realize that Moses has just died. Moses has led the Israelites for 40 years. He's led them through the wilderness. He has led them to experience God's presence as God parted the sea, as God met with Moses in a visible, tangible way up there on Mount Sinai, and the Israelites were able to look up and see, as God miraculously provided for the Israelites with manna and quail, and God took care of them by bringing water out of a rock and sending the water to them to satisfy their thirst. How do you follow that? How do you follow a Moses? And so now Joshua has been given the reins. Moses has died, and they have not yet stepped into the promised land. They're on the edge of the Jordan River, ready to go in, but they've not yet made it in. I can imagine if I was Joshua, I would be fearful. I wouldn't be strong and courageous. I would be afraid, thinking, how in the world am I going to be able to do this? I don't think I've got what it takes. And so what God does in verses 6 through 9 is he's giving Joshua a pep talk. But he's not just giving him a pep talk that is superficial. He's giving him three substantive reasons to be strong and courageous. So what does it mean to be strong and courageous? Let's just kind of look at our terms here. What is strength? What is strength? Well, what I did this past week is I, with the ability that I have, with the resource tools that I have, the Bible study tools that I have, I looked up the Hebrew word. I'm not going to say that. It's not important. I looked up the Hebrew word for strong, be strong and courageous. And I looked at the other places where it showed up in Scripture, where it showed up in the Old Testament. Let me read to you just a few. One was when David was dying and he was talking to his son Solomon. Listen to what he said in 1 Kings 2:2. As for me, King David said, I'm going the way of all the earth. That means everybody before me died, and I'm following suit. I'm going the way of all the earth. And then he says to Solomon, be strong and be a man. Right? Don't you be a sissy, Solomon. Don't you wallow in fear and fret and everything else. These people need a leader. You be strong, you be a man. So strength talks about taking the reins. It talks about not being passive and fearful, but it talks about someone who is standing up, ready to take control, right? Strength. Another place that this word strong shows up is when the people of Israel were in captivity. They were in Babylon. And the prophet Isaiah was encouraging them to take heart. He was saying, don't worry, it's going to be okay. Listen to what he says in Isaiah 35, verse 4. Say to the cowardly, say to those that are fearful, say to those that are, you know, have their tail tucked between their legs, say to the cowardly, be strong. Do not fear. Here is your God. Look at God. God is the one who has brought you through this, all of this that you're going through. Yes, you're in captivity, but it's because you sinned against God, and that's why he sent you into captivity. But behold your God. Vengeance is coming. God's retribution is coming. He will save you. Right? Don't be afraid. God is present. He's on his throne. He's going to take care of you. Don't be cowardly. Go with the courage that comes from knowing that God is in control. I can't tell you how many times in my life, and many of you could testify to the same thing, that there have been times when you were scared silly because you didn't know how things were going to pan out. but you comforted yourself in the fact that you knew that if nothing else, God is on his throne. God is on his throne. It's okay. Even in Isaiah 6, it begins in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, the king died. And now it could be that the nation's going to go into chaos and calamity. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I beheld the throne, the Lord seated on his throne. He did the same thing. When life seemed to be going into chaos, he comforted himself in the fact that God was on the throne. That's what Isaiah is saying to the Israelites. Be strong, because God's reigning. He's going to take care of this. Another situation, just one more. Toward the end of the Old Testament, even though Ezra shows up toward the front half of the Old Testament and the way our Old Testament books are organized, Ezra was toward the end as the New Testament era was going to begin in about 400 and something years. But Israel had sinned under Ezra's leadership. And there was a man named Shechaniah. And he encouraged Ezra to do what he needed to do to lead the people back into obedience and into God's favor. Listen to how he uses the word strong. Ezra chapter 10, verse 4. Get up, for this matter is your responsibility, Ezra. Ezra, get up. Don't you sit there. Don't you be cowardly. You stand up. These people need somebody to lead them. These people need somebody to hold them accountable. Get up. For this matter is your responsibility and we support you. Be strong and take action. Right? So when we look at the word that God was using to speak to Joshua, he was talking about a word that rests in a quiet confidence. I can be strong because things are going to be okay. I can take the reins and I don't have to be passive because things are going to be okay because God's in control. Be strong. The other word. Be strong and, what's the second word? Courageous. So what is courage? What's that word? One of the things that I realized is that as I looked up this word in the Old Testament, every single instance I found followed be strong and. That this word courageous always followed be strong and courageous. It always went with strength. Because you are strong, be courageous. Let me tell you what courage basically is. It's not the absence of fear. It's not the absence of fear. You say, oh, I'm just not a courageous person. I've got fears. People that are courageous are sometimes terrified. Courage is doing the right thing even when you're terrified. Right? Courage is doing the right thing even when you're afraid. Let me tell you, do you think it would take courage for me to take these steps right here across this platform? Does this take courage? No, it doesn't take courage. No courage at all. It's completely flat and there's no place for me to trip. There's nothing. But let's just say that I'm standing right here and now this is not a platform. I'm standing on the edge, on the very top, the roof of a 100-story building. And there's a 100-story building right over there. There's a street that runs 100 stories below us, a street way down below us, and there's a rope that goes across. And now, you told me to walk this on the rope. Do you think that takes courage? Absolutely. Do you think I'm afraid? Absolutely. I would be terrified, but that fear is not necessarily a bad thing. It's a bad thing if it keeps me from doing the right thing. But courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is only possible if you are afraid. Right? Courage is only possible if you are afraid. If something is dangerous, if there is an element of danger, that's the only possible way that you can actually demonstrate courage. And so when God is saying, be strong and courageous, he's not saying, don't be afraid. He said that in other places. But whenever he says it here, he is just saying, I know that life sometimes gets scary. And sometimes if you're honest with yourself, you are going to admit that, yes, I am afraid. But don't let that make you think that you cannot at the same time be courageous. Courage is acknowledging fear and doing the right thing anyway. I tell you, sometimes the thing that can give us courage is a different mindset. Let me explain. So quite a few years ago, a few pounds ago, I was out on a run up in Kentucky, out on a run, just enjoying this run. I think it was maybe a 10-mile or something like that. Just settled into a run and was just enjoying it, running through the neighborhoods. And I was running through a neighborhood. I don't think I had anything in my ears. I think I was, you know, I was just running just in the zone. And as I remember, I saw movement over here, you know, maybe a few houses up in front of me. There was a vehicle parked in the driveway, and I saw movement on the other side. And I thought, okay, either that's a short person or I'm in trouble. And sure enough, that dog came out from behind that car. There was no gate, or there was no fence, gate around that yard. And that dog, whenever he saw me, and I vividly remember this, that dog, whenever he or she saw me, immediately bared its teeth. The hair on the back of its neck went up. I could see that, and it started barreling toward me. I'm telling you this, and I'm not exaggerating. I outran that dog. I had a few houses ahead of it. I had a few houses head start, but I outran that dog. In that moment, was I strong and courageous? No. No, I wasn't strong and courageous. I was running in fear. Let's change the scenario. Let's say that I was out on that same walk, but I was with my wife and with my boys. Let's say my boys were much younger, couldn't protect themselves. Same scenario. I look, okay, there's movement. Oh, no, there's a dog, and he's barreling toward us. All of a sudden, every bit of maleness in me, and moms would do the same thing. You're saying, if that dog hurts my family, it's going to have to do it over my dead body, right? Nothing changed except the mindset because of different circumstances. It's the same scenario, it's different circumstances. What we see in Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 is God saying, let me give you a different mindset. Think on these things. And when you think on these things, and when you buy into these three mindsets and engage in these three habits, all of a sudden, strength and courage comes a little bit more naturally. So let's look into this. Let's look into it. Point two. Let's look at one, the first of three that we are to engage in. The first one, which is number two, actively appropriate God's promises. How can I develop strength and courage? Accurately appropriate God's promises. Look at verse six. Be strong and courageous. Well, how, God? How can I be strong and courageous? He's saying it. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their ancestors to give them as an inheritance. God said, Joshua, you can be strong and courageous because I've made a promise to Abraham. And if you were to go back to Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 15 and Genesis chapter 17 and a few other places, you'll see, Joshua, that I promised Abraham that y'all were going to get this land. And God said, essentially is saying, I have never broken a promise and I never will. And so, Joshua, it's not really you that's on the line. It's me that's on the line. And I have promised you that you're going to get this land. So you have the luxury of being strong and courageous, right? That's the first thing that his strength and courage came from. I remember maybe this past week, as you know, I said goodbye to Joseph and, you know, just all sorts of things. A lot of the illustrations ended up being from our when our kids were smaller. So I remember whenever we would go that when I pastored in Brooksville here in Florida, whenever I pastored there, there was a lady and her husband that would let us come over just anytime we wanted and play there in the pool. And our boys were young, and at a point early in my ministry there, none of them knew how to swim at all. None of them knew how to swim. Well, I wanted them to know how to swim. And so there was a time whenever I was just trying to get them to where they were trusting me and feeling more comfortable in the water without the floaties, right? And so what does any dad do? He steps out into the pool and puts the kid on the side of the pool and says what?
Jump.
Exactly. And what do kids do? They don't jump. Why don't they jump? Even if I made a promise, and I did, I said, come on, jump. I promise I'll catch you. I promise I will not let you go under the water. I promise. They still didn't jump. Why? It was because they didn't trust my promise. You know, oh, you may let me slip, or you know, I may jump in front of you and you won't be able to catch me, or any number of things. But once one of them jumped and realized Dad's good for this promise, he said he's not going to drop us. He said he's going to catch us. And so, man, that was fun. You know what they started doing then? They would run around and get on the side and jump again, because now all of a sudden they're resting in the promises, right? That's what God said to Joshua. Joshua, you can be strong and courageous because I've promised that you're going to get this land. I have promised you. I love the old hymn called Standing on the Promises. And I believe it's the second verse that says this. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. That cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear sell, right? When life gets crazy, the storms of doubt and fear sell, by the living word of God, I shall prevail. What's the writer saying? God has promised things. And so even when life gets crazy, I'm trusting, I'm resting in His promises, right? Resting in His promises, standing on the promises of God. There are, someone has said, over 7,000 promises in God's Word. If you looked it up, the numbers are all over the place. But one of the things we know for certain is that there are thousands of promises in God's Word. One of the things we have to be careful as we're students of God's Word is we can't take a promise that God intended just for the Israelites. You know, hey, you know, they walked through the wilderness and for 40 years their sandals didn't deteriorate. Well, I can't claim that and say, okay, you know, Kim, let's buy a pair of shoes that's going to last for 40 years and I'm trusting God's Word that it's going to last. It doesn't apply to me. So we can't just recklessly take out promises from God's Word. We have to determine, is this something that is rightfully, that I can rightfully claim? Is God's Holy Spirit calling me to claim this promise right now? I'm telling you, one of the promises that I have recited more times than I care to admit is 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. When we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm telling you, there have been times in my life where something I said, something I thought, something I did, whatever, something, and it has really just messed me up. And I have asked the Lord's forgiveness, and I knew that, you know, 1 John 1, 9 was true, but I just didn't feel like God forgave me. And so I'd repeatedly asked God to forgive me of this. And then I came to a point in my spiritual walk where I realized, you know what, I'm kind of like the kid on the edge of the pool that here's the promise, but I'm not believing it. 1 John 1, 9 says that if we confess our sins, whatever it is, doesn't matter how bad it is, doesn't matter how long you were engaged in that or thinking that or saying whatever, it doesn't matter. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. We're not only forgiven, we're no longer dirty in His eyes. Isn't that a precious promise of God? There's a lot of Christians that are dealing with guilt. A lot of Christians dealing with things that are in their past, and they've asked God forgiveness not just once, but 1,000 times. And they're still dealing with guilt. I'm telling you, grab hold of the promise of 1 John 1, 9. God meant it. He's not going to break that promise. There are so many promises that God has in His Word. Let's move on to point 3. Passionately obey God's Word. The second way that we can gain strength and courage. Passionately obey God's Word. What we're going to hear God say here as we read verses 7 and 8 is God is saying that if you read My Word and if you study My Word, if you get into your Bibles, you not only understand what it says, but you believe it and you do it, then I'm going to bless you. Look at it. Verses 7 and 8. Above all, be strong and very courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction My servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left so that you will have success wherever you go. See, some Christians say we shouldn't be talking about success. Well, you know what? The only problem is God's the one that started the conversation. Verse 8. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it, for then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Now, really quick, just to tie that up, because we live in a culture where there are a lot of health, wealth, and prosperity preachers that are preaching a false gospel. This is talking about success. This is talking about prosperity. But what God is saying is, Joshua, I have a plan for you. And I've got a task for you. And if you obey my word, if you get into the word that Moses was writing out, we call it the first five books of the Bible that Moses wrote out. If you get into that, you find out what I'm saying, you believe it, you live it, then what I have called you to, you will succeed in that. How I define success. God says, how I define success. What we see here is that God says that the person who is in his word and is obeying it can be strong and courageous. Let me tell you this. God cannot and will not bless one of his disobedient children. God cannot and will not bless one of his disobedient children. It doesn't mean that if you're in disobedience, that God would not give you common grace. And what common grace is the grace that God, just because of his love and grace, just gives to everybody, even unbelievers, even the most vile of people. He gives them the next breath of air. He gives them sunshine. He gives them the rain. He gives them, you know, all sorts of common grace. But as far as particular, God saying, you are pleasing to me, I want to bless you, that's out the window for those that are not obeying God's word. Not obeying God's word. One of the many, many benefits of growing old. Yeah, I include myself in that group. Gray hair, I've earned them. One of the many benefits is you just see more. You know, you don't have to be smarter to be wiser. You just see more. You have the luxury of seeing paths that people have started out on, and you see where it's gotten them to, right? And one of the things that if you're a believer, and it doesn't even take a believer, but if you're a believer and you are convinced that the Bible is God's word and it is saturated with incredible life principles that God has given to us to tell us how to think and how to live, you realize that it is by far the best way, hands down, to live this life. Doesn't guarantee that life is always going to be easy. It does mean that we are able to live out our faith. It does mean that we are able to live in a way that is pleasing to God and go through those difficulties in a way that's pleasing to him. One of the things that God will not do is he will not bless a disobedient child. And in these verses, God is saying, essentially, Joshua, do you want me to bless you? Do you want to know that I'm going to bless you? Do you want to have the strength and courage that comes from knowing that you're on my good side? Then do what I tell you. Do what I tell you. I'm just going to be completely honest with you here. There are many people that profess to be Christians that I wish would stop calling themselves that, at least publicly, because they're tarnishing God's name. They're lowering the standard. And there's so many people where funerals take place and, you know, so many funerals that are done across our nation of people who supposedly professed faith in Jesus, supposedly years ago gave their heart to the Lord Jesus, but did not in any way demonstrate by any fruit whatsoever that they belonged to King Jesus. And people are led to believe that because they said that prayer, they're good. They're good. Do you know how you can know that you are saved? One, are you trusting in Jesus? But two, are you bearing the fruit? You know what one of the primary fruit is? Obedience. It's obedience. That's one of the ways that God said, Joshua, you can have strength and courage. You can know that you're on my good side if you do what I tell you. Get into the Bible, read it, study it, believe it, do it, and I'll be free to bless you. Some may say, well, you know, the whole thing of obedience and blessing was really clear cut in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, it's not so clear cut. May I point you to James chapter 1, verse 25. And by the way, this is in the New Testament. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom, that is another name for the Bible, the Word of God. The one who looks intently, he is spending time in God's Word. And he perseveres in it. That means he's spending time and he's getting it into his mind and he's obeying it. And is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works. He's obeying God's word. This person will be, what's the word? Blessed in what he does. You want to be strong and courageous? Rest in God's promises and do what he says. do what he says. You'll be free to be blessed. However God determines what blessing means in your life, you will be free to be blessed. Then the third thing, which is the fourth point, confidently rest in God's presence. Confidently rest in God's presence. Another way that we can have strength and courage. And I would also encourage you not to look at verses 6 through 9 and say, okay, I will pick this, but not necessarily these two. Or I will pick these two, but not necessarily this one. This is an all package deal. Confidently rest in God's presence. Listen to verse 9. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Joshua, be strong and courageous. How, Lord? How can I be strong and courageous? Okay, yes, you told me I'm to rest in your promises. You made promises to Abraham, so I'm resting in that. So I'm going to do my job, but knowing that you are going to, through me, fulfill your promises. And Lord, I also know that I'm going to be in your word. I'm going to be reading it so that I'm believing it and I'm obeying it so that you will be free to bless me with success and prosperity, doing what you have called me to do. And God gives them the third thing. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged. What's the third reason? For the Lord your God is what? With you wherever you go. I can't believe it's been right at 40 years since my freshman year in high school. I can't believe that. But I can remember it like it was yesterday. Particular instance. I think it was, I don't know if it was my first day at school or my, it was definitely my first week at school. And back then, you know, initiations just kind of happened. It just kind of happened. I don't know if they still do, but they certainly did happen back then. And I remember going into the cafeteria and I was hanging out with a couple of other guys there at our table as we were eating. And the table right there in the middle of the cafeteria is just a big long table, is a bunch of the seniors. And I'll never forget, as we were just minding our own business, somebody came up, took a chair, turned it around backwards and sat on this chair right next to us. I remember his full name. I'll just tell you his first name was Oscar. And it matched what he looked like. I mean, he must have been a linebacker on, I think he was on the varsity football team. He was a big old guy. And said something to the effect of, hey, my girlfriend over there at the table wants one of y'all to get her something to drink. So I need one of y'all to go up there and get her something to drink. And the other guys that were sitting at my table didn't say anything. They just looked down. I happened to accidentally make eye contact with them, so I was the object. And he said, I'm telling you right now to get up there and get her something to drink. I knew that if I it was a small thing, but I knew if I did that, I was toast for the rest of the year. You know, you give in one time, you're toast for the rest of the year. So I said, no, I'm not going to do it. And then I looked down and he said, oh, yes, you are. Said, no, I'm not. And he said, I will see you after school. Well, you know, the thing is we had one vehicle, as most families did back then, back in the 80s, had one vehicle. My dad had that for his job. So we walked home and, you know, it was from the high school to our house, 3/4 of a mile. Plenty of time for him to find me and, you know, make good on his promise that he made that he was going to beat me up after school. So what did I do as a terrified freshman fish? I went to one of the staff and I just said, hey, I've got a guy that's threatened me. He's claiming he's going to beat me up after school. I just think somebody needs to know this. Well, next thing I know, Mr. Frazier, the vice principal, is calling me into his office. And then calls Oscar in. I'm sitting right beside him thinking, oh, boy. In front of me, Mr. Frazier gave him a week of suspension. I thought, now I'm really in trouble. After school suspension. After school suspension was there in the cafeteria where they hung out for about an hour or so. I don't know what they did. I never had to do that. But all I knew is the guy that I had made angry and had shamed in front of the senior table is now having to do after school suspension. A couple of days went by. You know, last class was over with. I wanted to take care of business before, you know, I hit the road and started walking home. So I stopped in one of the restrooms there in the high school. What I didn't factor in, and it was right beside detention hall. And Oscar walks in. I thought, oh boy, I'm gone. And to my surprise, Oscar said, "Man, I didn't mean to scare you. I was just joking. I just want you to let you know that if you ever have any trouble with anybody this school year, you just let me know." You know what I had then? Strength and courage. You know why? One of the big guys on the varsity football team said he was going to protect me, right? I didn't have anything to worry about because Oscar was going to watch out for me. You know, you got somebody bigger than Oscar that has promised that he will watch after you. Look at this promise again. Verse 9. "Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." In fact, when you get to the end of Matthew and Jesus is giving us the Great Commission, you know, go into all the world and make disciples, he ends it by saying in verse 20, "And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." You don't have to be afraid. There may be bad things that happen, but you're not going through it alone. And nothing bad can happen to you that does not come through my hands, God says. God says, "I want you to be strong and courageous. Rest in my promises. Obey my word. And find comfort in the fact that I am with you. My presence is with you." So we don't know what lies ahead in 2024. We don't have a clue. Once again, it could be a heaven on earth. It could be wonderful. Be wonderful. It's probably not going to be that. It'll be something less than that. We don't know to what extent. This is a time for God's people, regardless of what happens around us in the world around us or in our families or in our personal lives. This is an opportunity for us to demonstrate that Christians live our lives differently. That we have the luxury of being strong and courageous. And we have at least these three reasons for being so. So I'm just going to ask you, what are you going to do with what we read in God's Word this morning? Are you going to just kind of passively move over it and move on to lunch? Or are you going to say, "Hey, that's good insight. I'll think about it later," and then you don't? Or are you going to make adjustments right now? In fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to bow your head. As Joey makes his way up, I'm going to ask you to bow your head right now. And as we have looked at God's Word and as we realize that God doesn't just merely want Joshua to be strong and courageous, He wants all of us to be strong and courageous, regardless of what comes our way. What area, which one of these is God really, really pointing out to you? Are you not obeying His Word? Or might God be saying, "You know what, I've got all of these promises. You're not really trusting, resting in my promises." And maybe that's what God's calling you to do. Or maybe you've been feeling all alone and life is difficult and you just feel like you're in it all by yourself. And God is saying, "I am with you and you need to rest in that." Right now, just in a moment of prayer, acknowledge to the Lord that you have heard what He is saying to you, what adjustment you need to make, and let Him know what that response is going to be. Right now, just pray. Just pray. And Lord Jesus, we come to You and we thank You that Your Word is given to people who live in a life where struggles are going to happen, whether it was a warfare that Joshua was facing or whether it's the difficulties that we go through and from time to time, that You have given us in Your Word how we can be victorious, how we can be strong and courageous. Lord, help us not to just check this off and agree with what we have heard You say in Your Word. Help us to not be hearers, but to be doers of the Word, to leave this place with the intention, as we rest in Your Holy Spirit to enable us, to make good on what it is that You have revealed to us. Help us, Lord, to work with Your Holy Spirit to cultivate strength and courage for whatever it is that lies ahead, and then to pass it on. Lord, we also pray, knowing that there is bound to be someone in this room that does not know You, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. And if they were to die right now, they would spend an eternity in a place called hell, because you, as a righteous judge, would be forced to send them who have broken your laws to that place. But Lord Jesus, you died on the cross and rose from the dead so that anyone who trusts in you, who stops trusting in themselves and their supposed good works, but trusts in you to forgive them and save them, can be forgiven and enjoy you in this life and in the life to come. And so, Lord, I pray right now, whoever does not know you as their Lord, their boss, and as their Savior, the one who forgives them, I pray right now, Lord Jesus, in a moment of sincere, heartfelt faith and trust, that they would call out to you, asking you to forgive them and rest in what you have already done for them on the cross to save them. Father, I pray that as we go into this time of response, however it is that you desire to move among us, whatever it is that you are doing, Lord, I pray whether that means someone comes forward and speaks with me about what it is that you are speaking to them about in their mind and heart, or whether someone comes forward and just kneels at the steps and does business with you, or whether there are people here that just continue to bow in prayer and do business with you as those around them sing, however it is that we would respond right now, Lord, help us to do business with you. We pray in